not homosexual. As far as I'm concerned, you can stow in the gutter.
If people are dying from AIDS, then they may as well die sooner than later.
Mr. Speaker, I move that leave be given to introduce the Homosexual Law Reform Bill.
It's going to destabilise the family unit, destroy this nation and democracy.
Come out now, be visible. Be as gay and as lesbian as you can.
Welcome to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Daring, dangerous, and delightful pride parades circle the world. Arkansas's top court spanks the state's foster parenting ban. And sex laws and audio tape commemorate New Zealand's 20th anniversary of reform. Those stories and more this week now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Rick Watts.
And I'm John Beaupre.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending July 1st, 2006. June Pride season peaked around the world this week. Celebrations are held to commemorate the Stonewall Rebellion in June 1969, when patrons of that well-known gay bar on Christopher Street in New York City's Greenwich Village fought back against a routine police raid, giving birth to the modern-day movement for LGBT equality. Bolstered by news that leading candidates for the 2007 French presidential election have softened their opposition to same-gender marriage, thousands of equality supporters paraded in Paris on June 24th under the slogan, Equality in 2007. The issue made headlines when Ségolène Royal, the socialist presidential frontrunner, came out in support of same-gender marriage, an abrupt personal policy reversal to conform with her party's written platform. It is essential that everybody has equal rights and dignities and the chance to express themselves freely, Royal told the gay magazine Tattoo last week. Opening up marriage to same-sex couples is needed in the name of equality, visibility, and respect, she said. Royal's main conservative rival, Interior Minister Nicolas Sarkozy, then said he would ask well-known philosopher Luc Ferry to provide him with a report on the implications of marriage equality. According to a recent opinion poll, 60% of the French public support same-gender marriage. However, French mayors officiate at marriages and, with the notable exception of openly gay Paris mayor Bertrand Delanoy, they appeared less willing to embrace change. Some 12,500 of them, more than one in three, have signed a petition opposing same-gender unions.
Tens of thousands of spectators gathered where it all began, New York City, lining Fifth Avenue on June 24th for that city's annual Pride March. Intermittent rain didn't deter the crowd. The route bathed in an ocean of rainbows and colorful floats. The parade marked the first public appearance of singer Kevin Aviance, who triumphantly rolled down Fifth Avenue atop a circus-themed float, just weeks after being viciously beaten and having his jaw broken by four young men yelling anti-gay slurs. A few hateful homophobes will not set us back, said City Council Speaker Christine Quinn, who marched in the parade. She's the first woman and the first openly queer person elected to lead the council.
On San Francisco's Market Street the same day, a sea of festively dressed revelers looked on as marching bands, dancers, and floats bearing corporate logos streamed by in that city's annual Pride Parade. The Christopher Street West Parade in West Hollywood the week before also drew the usual large crowds to the weekend Pride Festival. Political signs and banners in those cities and elsewhere focused on marriage equality and stopping anti-queer violence.
Thousands gathered in Columbus, Ohio on June 23rd for that area's 25th annual Pride Parade. Protesters along the route held large signs reading, "Homo sex is sin and God abhors you," while a boy in blue tie-dyed clothing held up another, "Two moms, two dads, too cool."
The largest demonstration of pride in the history of the world took place in Sao Paulo, Brazil, on June 17th, as nearly 2.5 million people turned out for that city's 10th annual parade. However, violence against sexual minorities remains alarmingly high in that country. At least 81 Brazilians were murdered in anti-queer hate crimes last year. The parade theme was "Homophobia is a Crime."
Some 160,000 people hit the streets for the 28th annual Pride March on the same day in Mexico City. Organizers demanded equal rights and opportunities, legal recognition of queer families, and reform of the educational system to present LGBT people in a fair manner. The five-hour parade began at the Angel of Independence Monument and ended at the Zócalo, the huge square that is Mexico's political epicenter. Speakers at the post-parade rally included the president of the Mexico City Human Rights Commission and the director of the National Center for the Prevention and Control of AIDS. Pop singer Gloria Trevi also spoke. "You should not have to fight for your rights to acquire them or have them because you were born with them," she said. Trevi also performed her latest single, Todos Me Miran, or Everybody's Watching Me.
Police officials in the Croatian capital of Zagreb said that about 500 officers provided protection for some 250 Pride Parade participants on June 24th, which, unlike similar marches in some other Eastern European cities, was a peaceful event. As was the case at more violence-laden marches in Moscow and Warsaw recently, other LGBT activists from around the region participated.
About 10,000 people marched in Zurich's Pride Parade on June 10th, setting a new crowd record. The Swiss Info website reported that this year's parade was less outrageous than those of previous years, with most people turning up in normal, everyday clothing. A Pride spokesperson said that's likely a side effect of gays and lesbians becoming more integrated into Swiss society.
And some 250 people marched in the first ever Pride parade in Cork, Ireland on June 4th, according to a report in the Irish Independent newspaper. Although Cork has had a Pride festival for some 15 years, organizers believe the city only recently has become cosmopolitan enough to welcome a parade. "The public really seemed to enjoy it, and we will definitely be extending it next year," said a Pride organizer. "It just seemed to go down a treat with people."
In other news, Estonia's parliament has voted to increase protections for lesbian gay people. In a 62-18 vote on June 15th, lawmakers criminalized incitement of hatred or violence based on sexual orientation, among other specified categories. Violators face a fine or jail sentence. Another measure also banned discrimination based on sexual orientation. The author of the bills, People's Union MP Jacques Alik, said Estonia was lagging behind other European nations in protecting lesbian gay people and that now homophobia has been criminalized here as well.
In a unanimous ruling in the U.S. this week, the Arkansas Supreme Court overturned that state's ban on gay and lesbian foster parenting. The decision noted that the driving force behind the regulations was not to promote the health, safety, and welfare of foster children, but rather based upon the State Child Welfare Review Board's views of morality and its bias against homosexuals. The court concluded that there is no credible evidence that being raised by lesbian or gay people causes academic or gender identity problems, as the state had argued. Lame duck Republican Governor Mike Huckabee, whose term expires in 2007, immediately called on the legislature to enact a measure to void the high court ruling. But Rita Sklar of the American Civil Liberties Union, which litigated the case, said the court ruling itself could make legislation difficult to pass. She cited language in the ruling that said there was no connection between homosexuality and a child's welfare. Missouri officials dropped their appeal in a similar lesbian-gay fostering case earlier this month after passage of a measure that, among other things, repealed the state's sodomy law. That law had been cited as the primary basis for the fostering ban. The Show-Me state finally brought its law books in line 3 years after a U.S. Supreme Court ruling in a Texas case struck down all sodomy laws.
And finally, California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, facing a tough re-election battle this year, told a fundraising dinner for the West Coast chapters of the Log Cabin Republicans in Hollywood this week that he was proud to be on the same team as his gay GOP cohorts. His speech reportedly helped raise more than $100,000 for the gay Republican group. But both the governor and his supporters were silent about his veto of a marriage equality bill last year, the first such legislation passed by state lawmakers anywhere in the country. Schwarzenegger has also vowed to veto a bill passed earlier this year by the state Senate, even before it's been considered in the Assembly, which would require that LGBT people's contributions to history be taught in California's public schools. Schwarzenegger has signed bills increasing rights for same-gender domestic partners and strengthening hate crime protections. Some activists note, however, that the various domestic partner bills his GOP defenders point to would have been unnecessary had the governor signed the marriage equality bill into law. Schwarzenegger's Democratic opponent in the upcoming November election, State Treasurer Phil Angelides, has said he would sign such a bill. What does Arnold Schwarzenegger believe in beyond trying to save his own job? An Angelides campaign spokesperson asked rhetorically about the governor's log cabin appearance. One day he is vetoing civil rights bills, and the next day, this. Schwarzenegger was also this year's recipient of the Pink Brick Award, given annually by organizers of the San Francisco Pride Parade to someone who has done the most to deny LGBT people their civil rights. Still smarting over his September veto of that marriage equality legislation, nearly a third of the 3,043 mail-in ballots made him the top vote-getter, well ahead of runner-up Concerned Women for America, a national right-wing Christian group that campaigns against LGBT equality. And that's not the only rebuke the governor has received. Organizers of Pride events in San Diego and Long Beach refused to publish the annual greeting and letter of appreciation that Schwarzenegger sent out last month ahead of this year's celebrations.
That's News Wrap for the week ending July 1st, 2006. Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap was written by Greg Gordon and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles. For This Way Out, I'm John Beaupre.
And I'm Rick Watts.
You're listening to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine brought to you by you. Your charitable donations keep this program on the air. We've produced some special CDs to say thank you to our supporters, featuring queer history, reviews of LGBT music, and behind-the-scenes looks at relevant movies and TV shows. You can also now get CDs of our regular program by subscription, and be sure you never miss a week of This Way Out. For all the details, please visit our website at thiswayout.org. You can also demonstrate your solidarity by taking part in an online benefit auction. Look for the This Way Out area at alternabid.com. Again, to find out more about special CD thank you gifts, subscriptions, and the auction, please do log on to thiswayout.org, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA.
New Zealand gays and lesbians are celebrating the 20th anniversary this month of their homosexual law reform bill. The legalization of adult homosexual activity is frequently the tipping point that brings the discussion of LGBT rights to the forefront, and so it was in the land of the long white cloud. The passionate 16-month-long debate went beyond law reform itself to consider the wider issues of human rights and discrimination.
What we're discussing here is not a thing of human rights. It's simply homosexuality. Now, look, I'm standing up here as a proud heterosexual. I'd like all the proud homosexuals to join me. Silence.
As far as I'm concerned, you can stow in the gutter. 95% of the average normal people. Let all the normal people stand up. Let all the normal people arise. We do not want homosexuality legalized. We do not want our children to be contaminated by those. Turn around and look at them. Turn around and look at them. Look at them. Gaze upon them. You're looking into Hades. Don't look too long. You might catch AIDS. All right. Thank you very much.
What kind of society would you like to see in New Zealand for gays?
Well, we don't look for anything specifically for gays, but just a society in which people, anybody, can express their sexuality, whatever it is, without being hassled and put down and ridiculed for it, you know? It's a very idealistic view, but I don't think it's impossible, and I think it's the only way we're going to make the place a better place to live. You know, just stop trampling on other people. It doesn't just refer to sexuality, it refers to just about anything.
A bill stands in the name of Fran Wilde.
Mr. Speaker, I move that leave be given to introduce the Homosexual Law Reform Bill. Mr. Speaker, in brief, the bill is designed to eliminate legal sanctions on consenting homosexual activity between adults, to remove the legal sanctions on anal intercourse between consenting adults, to strengthen protection for boys under 16 along the lines of protection already provided for girls, and to outlaw discrimination on the grounds of sexual orientation.
Mr. Speaker, the present law is against anal intercourse, or what it is commonly known as sodomy. That is what the present law attempts to prevent. The changing of the law to discriminate homosexual acts, I don't believe, is the real aim of the gay community of New Zealand. I believe firmly that the real aim is to change society's attitudes towards homosexuality and gain total acceptance of homosexual behaviours in all areas. Overseas experience has shown that where legislators of various countries have heeded to them and given in and liberalised the law, what has happened? The first thing that is to happen is that the gay bars appear, bars for gays, gay dance halls, gay restaurants, and so on. The next piece of legislation undoubtedly to come in will be to allow gay men to marry as they can in some states of the United States. That is exactly the experience of what has happened overseas. It is the thin end of the wedge. It is the first step along the way.
Back in 1985, when the bill was introduced, the AIDS epidemic in New Zealand was still in its infancy. A few cases had been reported among people returning to the country from abroad, but as yet there were no known homegrown cases. Both sides of the law reform debate attempted to use the threat of epidemic in the country to their advantage. The pro-reform campaigners said that decriminalization would facilitate greater openness in AIDS education and treatment, but opponents claimed that infections would skyrocket.
To legalize homosexuality at 16 years of age, we'll be voting to legalize the spread of AIDS throughout this New Zealand community. No doubt at all in my mind about that. I don't believe the spurious argument put up by the proposer of this bill that it'll help to contain it. I don't believe that, and nobody else does. These people have come out in the open. They're in the open in these gay communities now. It's sickening. They're in the open there now. At 16 years of age, that won't stop at 16. It'll go down to 10 and 12. I taught in schools for 27 years. I've seen it.
Personally, I'm scared that I'll get it. I'm scared that my lover will get it. I'm scared people that I love, my friends, might die from it.
Keith, along with other gay men, says the emergence of AIDS has given religious and right-wing groups the opportunity to further condemn homosexuals.
It's provided them with all the ammunition they've ever wanted. It goes without saying. If ever they've needed to clobber us with something, this is ideal. And they'll say, as they always do, how much they love us. They love gay people because they're Christian. They love everybody. But they want us to burn in hell.
As far as members in the House are concerned, are they likely to change their votes or to think differently about homosexual law reform because of the publicity about AIDS in New Zealand?
I would think that if this bill goes through to after Christmas and there's another six or seven deaths from AIDS, as there will be by Christmas, that would certainly influence some of these members to change their votes.
Could I describe what you're doing as, in fact, scare tactics?
It's tactics. It's the same tactics as the homosexual people are taking. They know damn well if this bill isn't passed this session, AIDS will see to it, deaths from AIDS will see to it that it's never passed. They know it's their last chance because if they don't get it through now, the increasing deaths from AIDS will make sure it never comes through. So as far as I'm personally concerned, if people are dying from AIDS, then they may as well die sooner than later because I know there's at least seven that are in critical stages of intensive care. Now, if those people die, and they should die, and they will looking to be dying the next 3 or 4 months, and the bill's not through by there, of course it'll help our cause.
Hi, this is Georgina Beyer. I'm an MP in the New Zealand Parliament, the world's first transsexual to have been elected to such a position. You're listening to This Way Out. Stay out and proud.
As the battle for law reform in New Zealand began in late 1985, gay and lesbian groups had been told to expect a short political campaign carried out in Parliament. However, from the moment the bill was introduced, its opponents mounted a strong and calculated public campaign. They drew nationwide and international support from organizations such as the Salvation Army and America's Lew Sheldon and his Traditional Values Coalition. A nationwide petition against law reform was launched. Numerous public meetings were held. An assortment of pro-reform groups countered with street marches and rallies.
One of the most important things is to be visible as lesbians and gay men. A closet is a very dangerous place to be. It's dangerous for two reasons. It's dangerous because the society can pretend that you don't exist if you make it comfortable for them. And secondly, it's very bad for you, within yourself, to be forced to live the kind of stressful life that living in a closet involves. The more visibility we have, the safer, the stronger our community will be. So, come out now, be visible, tell everyone you can, be blatant, be as gay and as lesbian as you can, all the time.
Of the Salvation Army joining in the march today?
I think it was very good of them to come to our support. It's the first time they've given a public exhibition of support, and especially to provide the music for us was really helpful because we often have trouble maintaining our own rhythms.
Yes, I noticed the Salvation Army people here were really joining in for the lesbian and gay chants. Do you think they really support lesbian and gay rights?
They were clapping in time with our chants more than in time with their music. It was pretty amazing. But from some of the conversations that are going on around about between gay men and lesbians and members of the Salvation Army, I wouldn't be under any illusion that most of them are still strongly opposed to lesbian and gay rights.
These are the ones who are the perverts, not the gay and lesbian community. And if this bill doesn't get through, then who will be next?
835,000 New Zealanders, average decent people, presented this parliament with a petition saying they don't want to know about this bill. They don't want to legalise sodomy for 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds, 18-year-olds or 20-year-olds. They don't want to have sodomy legalised for armed servicemen. They don't want to have sodomy legalised for any sector of our society because they say that legalising sodomy is the thin edge of the wedge and it's going to destabilise the family unit, destroy this nation and democracy.
Mr. Speaker, the collection of signatures for and the presentation of this petition have been controversial. The member for Manawatu has said that the rally outside resembled a rally at Nuremberg, and there's probably not much need for the debate on that subject. This house had 91 boxes in it. They were covered in slogans. What we weren't told was that none was more than 50% full and many were under 25% full. The overstatement involved in the presentation of the boxes and the overstatement of numbers do no credit to the petitioner.
Even though the petition was widely discredited, it still demonstrated a strong and vocal opposition to law reform. The dissenters' crusade continued even after the final vote on July 9, 1986.
It's 16 months since Wellington Central MP Fran Wild introduced the Homosexual Law Reform Bill, and it's been a passionate, lengthy debate. The original bill set out not only to legalise sodomy, but also to remove discrimination against homosexuals. That part of the bill, however, was defeated along the way, and the age of consent became the central focus in recent months. The final vote was 49 in favour of the bill, 44 against, a majority of 5. Fran Wild, the bill's promoter, says getting the bill through Parliament has not won all the battles for the homosexual community.
I think there has been a change of attitudes during the bill. The Hayland polls have shown increasing support for the bill as the last year or so have gone on, but there is still a proportion of New Zealanders who will vilify and hate homosexual people, and I think that as a community that is not a healthy outlook, and we should try and educate people to respect differences.
You lost part two of the bill fairly early on, and that was the anti-discrimination part. How significant was that?
That was significant. It applied, of course, not just to gay men, but to lesbian women, and I was very sad that we lost that. I suspect some people voted against it simply to provide themselves with a little bit of political insurance so they felt they could vote for part one of the bill.
And with us in the studio now is a spokesman for the Gay Task Force, Bill Logan. Good morning.
Good morning.
How does it feel to be legal?
Well, it hasn't really sunk in yet. I suppose it feels like a moderate step has been made towards a more civilised sort of country.
Looking at the margin of only 5 votes and the bitter struggle over the last 16 months, has New Zealand been enlightened or grudging towards homosexuals?
The 5 votes is a good margin. I was expecting 1 vote. Governments have ruled for 3 years on 1 vote. 5 votes is a fine margin. And there's been a movement in public opinion from 57% of the population supporting reform up to 64% of the population supporting reform. This debate has started to change attitudes. It has started to make life better for gays, not only in law, but in attitudes. And attitudes is what's important.
But the failure of the bill supporters to compromise on the age of consent has been criticised. George Gayer's final vote in favour wasn't given wholeheartedly. He said the bill's sponsors were asking for too much. Why were you prepared to lose everything for the age of 16?
It was important to give the message that it is okay to be gay, to say that you've got to have special laws to prevent certain categories of people from being involved in homosexual relationships. People who would be allowed to be involved in heterosexual relationships would be giving a message which would destroy the ability of young gay men to develop a positive self-image. And that's a very important part of anyone who is going to play a role in society.
On July 11th, the Governor General formally endorsed the Homosexual Law Reform Act 1986. New Zealand's gay men were no longer criminals in their own country. Exactly 2 months later, on September 11th, 1986, the Lesbian and Gay Rights Resource, a center for the pro-law reform campaign, was firebombed. Out of the ashes, the Lesbian and Gay Archives of New Zealand was created, and much of what you've heard comes from their invaluable collection. You can listen online to the entire hour-long version of 20 Years Out, Homosexual Law Reform in New Zealand, produced by Gareth Watkins at radionz.co.nz. Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. This week, Rick Watts, John Beaupre, Rex Walkner, Bill Kelly, Graham Underhill, and Gareth Watkins contributed program material, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can now listen online to This Way Out exclusively at outinamerica.com. Click on the Features link on their front page. Some This Way Out operating expenses are funded by direct charitable donations from our listeners. Thank you. Log on to thiswayout.org to see how you can help keep this program on the air and choose from some special LGBT history, music, and culture CD thank you gifts. That's thiswayout.org. To sign up for our weekly email program preview messages and or our occasional This Way Out updates, email tworadio@aol.com. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. We thank you for listening on KRZA, Alamosa, Colorado, WEFT, Champaign, Urbana, Illinois, 4ZZZ, Brisbane, Queensland, and more than 150 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.